The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus teaches his disciples about ministry that involves service and sacrifice. His disciples are slow to realize that these words apply to them as well as to others. I begin reading at verse 38. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I just handed you a toy. And I handed you a football, and I handed you some kind of building blocks. I'm not sure what they are, but it turned out to be a dragon. And I'm holding what? Salt. I'm holding a can of salt. Now, how are these related? Do you play with salt?
No.
How are they related?
My name's Peyton.
Okay. I'm glad to see you. Well, guess what? Allie, hold it up real high. Hold the football up really high. Do you know that you can't have plastic toys? You cannot have a football without salt. Did you know that? Salt, and I looked this up, there are over 14,000 uses for salt. You can't make leather without salt. You can't make plastic without salt. And I know it doesn't happen here, but recently I was at a building that was bigger than this entire church, and it was full of salt. Can you imagine that much salt? They use salt on the highways to make them safe in the wintertime. So salt is very, very important. And Jesus was there when salt was made. He helped make the salt. He knew how important salt was. So important that he even compared people to salt. Zoe, would you read this Bible verse for us, please?
You are the salt of the earth.
That's right. Matthew called us the salt of the earth, and in our readings today, Mark calls us the salt of the earth. Jesus loves us so much that he wants us to be like salt. He wants us to make things better on this earth. Just like salt makes footballs, salt makes toys, salt makes things that we love. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that we can be the salt of the earth and make things better for you. Amen. Okay, I need those of you who were at practice with.
Could use some of that percussion with the guitar. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our scripture readings for today, there were two stories, and there were some similarities between those two stories. I don't know if you caught it. The one story was the story from the Old Testament lesson, and again, you need a little background for that. The people of Israel had complained because of the harsh slavery in Egypt. They cried out to God for help, and so God sends in Moses, and Moses leads them out of the slavery up to the Red Sea. And then they cry out again, this time in fear, because Pharaoh's army has them trapped up against the sea. Once again, God rescues them. He opens up, parts the sea, and they walk across on dry land. And then they get out in the wilderness, and the people start to complain again. We're hungry. We don't have any food to eat. So God sends them manna. And then they complain again. We're thirsty. And God provides water for them. And so now they're complaining again. We want meat to eat. We want something different than just this manna stuff that we look at all day. We remember the times, the good times we had back in Egypt. They forgot that they were slaves, and they were crying out for mercy. They wanted to go back to slavery once again. And Moses is all upset that they're constantly complaining, and now God gets upset, and he's angry because they're always complaining. God bails them out, and they complain again. They're never satisfied. And because God's angry, Moses gets angry. Moses feels squished in between the two of all the people complaining all the time, and then God being angry now, and he says, just let me die, God. Get me out of this misery. Just let me die. Moses felt too much weight upon his shoulders. It was too much for him. And so God says, okay, here's what we're going to do, Moses. Go gather up the leaders. Bring them to the tent of worship. And at that tent of worship, then God takes some of the spirit off of Moses and places it on these leaders. And they all prophesy. But a little while later, a little boy comes running back from camp. Obviously, two of the men who did not come to the camp of meeting, to the tent of worship, and they were still back in the regular camp, and they too started to prophesy, and it scared the little boy, and he comes running up to Moses and says, "Moses, two men are prophesying." And Joshua, Moses' assistant, says, "Moses, you got to stop them. This isn't right." But Moses is pleased. He can feel that others now are sharing in his responsibility, sharing in the leadership, and he said, if all the people of Israel shared in that spirit. The other story is that the beginning of the gospel lesson. John tells Jesus, "Jesus, we saw a man in town today, and he was casting out demons in your name, but he wasn't one of us. Make him stop." And Jesus says, "No, we're not going to stop him. Because anybody who cast out a demon in my name will become a follower. Who's not against us is for us." I mean, the whole idea of Jesus is to make more followers, to make more leaders, to fill more people with the Spirit of God. These two stories are similar in the sense that they're both talking about leadership. They're talking about responsibility. They're talking about control. They're talking about power and the willingness to share some of that. We need good leaders. We need leaders who will take charge, leaders who are responsible, leaders who understand what the issues are and know how to fix things and to lead people in the right way. But sometimes there's problems that come along with leadership, with power, and with control. You've heard it said before, leadership corrupts, and absolute leadership corrupts absolutely. Or power, I guess, corrupts absolutely. And that there's a sense to that then, too. The more power and more control you have, the more it seems to affect people. And it does different things. For some, it creates an ego that's hard to get knocked down, that I'm important, nobody else is important, I am the most important. Or the other thing that it does is it says, if I'm in charge, if I'm responsible for it, I need to be responsible for every single detail, and I need to get involved in every single thing that's happening so that I can control it, so that I can make sure that it happens in the right way. Leadership, power, control, responsibility affects other people, some people, in different ways. And I have several stories this morning that talk about leadership and control and power and how it affects our lives in different aspects. First story is about a woman in a congregation. Now, this woman in the congregation was involved in everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything in the congregation. She was up at the church every single day of the week. Either with some of the organizations that were going on, or she was up at the church office looking for ways to help in that office. And if she wasn't there, she'd be calling on the phone, which organizations, what projects are going on today, so that she could get over there and help with that. Well, the men of the congregation wanted to have a fundraiser, and they were going to cook a dinner and sell tickets to raise money so that they could send the kids to church camp. And so they planned it all out, and on the day of the event, the men were up there in the kitchen cooking. Well, this woman shows up. She wants to help. And so she goes where they're preparing the vegetables, make sure that they're all chopped up just in the right way. She was checking out how they were seasoning the food, make sure that the correct spices were being used and in the right proportion. She would go up to the stove and adjust the burners a little bit to make sure they had just the right amount of heat on them. When it came, and she went to the serving table and rearranged it so that it was the most efficient way that the food could be served. When they were serving, she was kind of hovering around, and she would make comments like, "Don't you think that's a little bit too much food on that plate? You know, we've got to make this stretch out all the way so that everybody who bought tickets gets their food." Or another comment was, oh, don't worry about that spill. I'll go get a wet rag and clean up your mess. And towards the end of the serving, when they had more expected that came through that just wanted the pickup plates, they ran out of those pickup covered pickup trays. And she started running around saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And one of the men whose threshold of patience was a little bit shorter than many other people yelled at her in the hearing of all the people, get your busy body out of here and do not come back. Another story. My father was a pastor, and his internship year evidently was fairly rough. He was sent to a congregation in one of the northern cities, and it was a large congregation, maybe 1,200 to 1,500 people there. And they had only one pastor in that congregation. That one pastor was also president of the congregation. And that pastor was also the treasurer of the congregation. His wife was the president of the women's organization. She was also the secretary of the church, and she was also the superintendent of the Sunday school. When Dad arrived there for internship, he was told every hour of the day what he was supposed to be doing, whether those were regular working hours or whether those are hours that he was supposed to be off. He was told what he was to wear during all the working hours and also during his time off. He was told where he could go and where he couldn't go at any time, no matter what time of day it was. He was given absolutely no responsibilities that he could control on his own. At the end of his internship, at great risk, the church council voted to let Dad preach a sermon. So Dad preached his first sermon on internship on the last Sunday that he was there. One more story. Grandpa was getting up in years and starting to slow down a bit. About a year before, he had lost his car. He was in a fender bender, and he finally decided, well, maybe it's not a real good idea for me to be driving anymore. Family members would go by regularly and check up on Grandpa, just to see that he was doing well, or if he needed anything. And it was on one winter morning, but it was an unusually warm winter morning. Well, it's winter time, you need the heat on in the house, and so Grandpa had turned all his heaters on. And so when my sister went on that Sunday morning to go pick Grandpa up, she opened the back door up and a blast of heat hit her. And she went into the house quickly, and she found Grandpa passed out on the floor. He had all the heaters burning in the house because it was wintertime, even though it was warm outside. My sister quickly called 911. She opened up windows and doors and tried to air the place out. Ended up, Grandpa spent a couple of days in the hospital, and he was fine. But at that point then, he decided, well, maybe it is time to go into the nursing home. Power, control, leadership, responsibilities. They come in different forms and in different shapes, of different ways of doing things. Sometimes when we have that control, or we want that control or the power, we think we need to control everything. And we're into everybody's business. Sometimes it's the control of our own lives, and we can no longer take care of ourselves. And it's hard to let that go. Or there's so many responsibilities. Maybe you're in a position where there's so many responsibilities, like Moses. And it just feels like too much. The whole world is pressing in on you. And it's time to let them go, to let some of that power go. For Moses, it was a relief that God had a plan that released some of his spirit onto others. For some people, it's hard to let go of that power, that control. They want to have their fingers in everything. But the responsibility of leadership is not only upon the leader. And in deciding how much help that leader needs or in how much of sharing that leadership, the responsibility is also on everybody else. Because in order to share responsibility and leadership and control and power, need other people to step up as well, willing to do, willing to serve, willing to share in that leadership. In that Old Testament lesson, 70 people stepped up and said, yes, we will help take some of this responsibility off of Moses. In that gospel lesson, God gave the Spirit to somebody else to cast out demons. They were willing to step up and to do. And to follow the calling of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit so that leadership is not all in the control of one person, but can be shared and can be taught and can be passed around. Ultimately, we need to remember that God is in control. God is in control of everything, but He shares His leadership with us. And sometimes we don't always understand what God does with what He does, or how He does the things that He does do. For many people, that whole idea of Christ, His only Son, coming down to this earth, of giving up all of the things that He gave up. He gave up His power and majesty and might and took on human form. He took on humanity and He came to this earth. And He emptied Himself of it all, even to the point of death. He was willing to do that for the sake of humankind. And then He rose again. We too are called into leadership positions. We are called into leadership of service, to be willing to do and to help and to guide. Ultimately, God is in charge. And that's a good thing, because God is full of compassion. God is merciful, He's slow to anger, and He is abounding in steadfast love. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.